Well, dear hearts, great to have you with us in our Challenge Ministries Radio congregation today. And may I say going into today's broadcast that we, the people of God, the family of God, those of us who have truly been born again, this nation owes our Heavenly Father an apology. We have sinned. We have sinned against His Word. We have sinned against His character. We have sown to the wind, and we are reaping the whirlwind. And what is true of this nation is true of the nations of the world. As I was sitting before the Lord this week, just looking at the Word of God, and I got to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. We've done that in this nation. When our Supreme Court put their stamp of approval on abortion, they put us in a collision course, head-on collision course with God. When our Supreme Court put their stamp of approval on same-sex union, you see, all of this speaks to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You get the same thing in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, just voiced and said a different way. But in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, speaking of the spirit of Antichrist, which is already in the world today, operating, if you will, at the highest levels of legislative bodies, it's a spirit. You can't see it. You can tell it by what it produces. You can tell it by what it stands for. You can tell it by what it does not stand against. And speaking of that spirit that permeates the judicial system, the legislative systems, even religious systems of the world, Daniel had this to say in verse 25 in chapter 7. He shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and a dividing of time. In other words, just like Isaiah said, he tries to make right look wrong and wrong look right. We talk about praying. Yes, we need to pray. We need to pray fervently. We need to pray effectively. But let me tell you something that needs to go along with our praying. That's repentance. We've sinned, folks. We have sinned against God. This nation has embraced every single thing that God says not to embrace. That puts us on a collision course with God. You'll hear me going into this message talking about one of my people came to me and said, did you know that the Catholic Church is now doing drive-by confessions? And I said, why would I confess my sins to another sinner? No, I confess my sins to God. I go to my prayer closet, whether it's an attitude or an improper motive or an improper thought or whatever it may be. But we need to pray and we need to repent. So that being the case, I'm going to ask you, if you're concerned about the nation, if you're concerned about the future, I'm going to ask you to be a warrior priest. Folks, we need prayer. This nation, the nations of the world need prayer. I'm praying for the flock of God worldwide, but I realize we've sinned. We've sinned. And we need to go before the throne of God apologizing to God. Now, before I take you to this message entitled Pleasing God, because you're going to find out. In this message, you're going to find out that if you are born again, I didn't say if you're religious, I said if you have been born again, you have clout in heaven. This message will confirm that for you. So let me just pray for a moment before we get into the message. And if you would agree with me, I'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, we've sinned against you. We as a nation have sinned. We as the church, as the bride of Christ, the born again, those of us who are blood bought, blood washed, born again, adopted into the family of God, we have sinned against you. In our silence, in our prayerlessness, in our spiritual lethargy, in our spiritual apathy, in our indifference, we have sinned against you. Too many of your people have sided with some political persuasion rather than your heart and your word. Father, there's been too much compromise. There's been too much political correctness in the church itself, and we have sinned. We acknowledge that. We have sinned. But we're asking you to purge, purify, and refine the body of Christ. We're asking you to purge, purify, and refine the pulpits in this nation. We're asking you, Father God, where we need conviction, give us conviction. Where we need illumination, give us illumination. But Father God, we ask you to move in this nation in such a way that you can bring in a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revival, and see godly standards and godly values reinstituted into our nation. Watch you as you reverse certain judicial decisions and legislative decisions and bring about decisions, Father God, that are in keeping with your word and pleasing to you. So, Father, there we are. I'm apologizing to you. I have no doubt that many of these listening to this broadcast are apologizing to you as well. Let us not cease until we know that we have penetrated the darkness of this world. And, Father God, anoint us, we pray, to be salt and light in a way we have never been salt and light. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. All right, now we're going to take you into this message I just preached to our people here. It's entitled, Pleasing God. And it will help you better understand that you are a person of significance, if you've been born again, importance. Now, he loves the world. He loves those who have been born again and those who have not been born again. He wants those who have not been born again to be born again. But I want you to know, as one who has been born again, the Word of God says you are a member of a royal priesthood. And you have approach. You have, if you will, an invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace in prayer. You have to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Hopefully, this message will help you better understand that. Let's go to it now, and may God bless you as you listen. I was thanking the Lord this morning that I had so much to thank Him for. I'm serious. I was thanking Him I had so much to thank Him for. When Sharon told me yesterday that in New York, somebody was dying of the virus every 9.5 minutes. And I said, I wonder how many babies are being aborted in that same length of time. I looked later, by the way, for whatever it's worth to you, I'm praying that God will bankrupt Planned Parenthood. When that's one of the strongholds, listen, it is not beyond the pale of history because it's happened before. God can give us a Supreme Court that will review and reverse previous Supreme Court decisions. Amen. It's been done in the past, number one. Number two, when Donald Trump cut Planned Parenthood off from Title X, they decided then we'll go to the states. We can't get federal funds, we'll go to the states. So what they've done is they're lobbying each and every state to have the states support them now. But you've got states now that are funding abortion because the state legislator didn't have the courage to stand up and stand against it. So this thing, and I don't know if any, let's see, there's out of 42% of the world's population, 30 nations in the world practice abortion.
and they make up 42% of the total population of the world. So this is a widespread thing. But one of the things that bothers me as well is America is something of a trendsetter. Everybody wants to kind of follow America, trend America. So they've embraced a lot of what we set in motion, and we stand guilty for that. I'm going to say a couple of things that I don't. I'm not a sensationalist. I'm not a fearmonger. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Number one. Number two, nobody knows if and when it's going to end. Nobody can project or predict the end. So when this thing is going to be over. But we know this. God is merciful. And God is gracious. And God is sovereign. Now open your Bibles, if you would, to by the way, this, I've got a message that the Lord just birthed the other day, just phew, like that. I don't know what to call it. I'm going to do it on the radio this week, called Straight Talk. Straight Talk. It may be 30 minutes, maybe 35 minutes. I don't know what it's going to be. I'll probably post it for the Wednesday night message. So you can, but you can access anything I do on the radio by simply going to our website. We post all of our radio messages there. But Straight Talk, and we're going to talk about some of the issues facing us today. As to this message this morning, it's about prayer. I am convinced, the longer I live and the longer I'm in ministry, that most of the church does not have the foggiest idea as to what is available to them. They don't understand the cross. They don't understand the fullness of the cross. And I was told that Tony Evans preached a message this past week in which he was making the same comments, that so much of the word has not been preached, that so much of the church does not know the word, does not understand the word, and cannot understand the signs of the times we're coming through now. Amen. Well, I'm asking God to raise up those ministers across the nation, those men of God, like with the Spirit like unto Elijah, Jeremiah, Elisha, John the Baptist, Paul the Apostle, and use them to call the church, the people of God, to repentance, holiness, and intercessory prayer. Amen. Repentance, holiness, and intercessory prayer. Open your Bible, if you would, for as we go into Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, which you've been there so many times. This is a very simple message, but one that I don't think most of the church has really grasped yet. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, if you were going to, I think there's a sermon going to come out of this somewhere along the line, I'm not sure. Jesus went with his parents up to the temple, and they left, and after a day or so they found out he wasn't with them. They thought he was with the rest of the family, the rest of the crowd, and they went back looking for him. If you were looking for Jesus, where would you look for him? If you personally wanted to look for Jesus, where would you look for him? They went back to the temple, found him talking to the doctors of the law. When you're looking for Jesus, you go to the Word. You go to the Word, and especially the Gospels. If you're going to gaze at Jesus, how would you go about gazing at Jesus? It's done through the Word. It is through the Word. But without faith, how do you build faith? Faith can only be built as you get to know the Word, act on the word, obey the word, believe the word, and you'll do what you believe. But without faith, it is impossible. You can't please him without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that most true believers really want to please God. I believe that. I believe that most true believers, those who have really been born again, really, truly want to please God. I'm not sure how many of God's children really understand how to please him. Or if they even put thought into, is this pleasing to God? For example, this hit me some weeks ago. Why would I sit and look at something on television by people who are actors and read a script that somebody else wrote? If that script and that action would grieve the Spirit of God. Now stop and think about what I'm saying. The actor reads a script. They see ungodly scenes in it. They see things that are not fit for humans to look at. They read the script. They see what they're going to have to say. This is not a problem. I can do that. I can say that, not a problem. Yes, I know it's going to go around the world, but I don't mind. Yeah, I can say that, I can do that, I can act like that. Why would I allow that in my home? Why would I allow that? Now, stop and think about what I'm saying. Think about the movie industry. Think about the television industry. Think about the entertainment industry. Think about songs, think about words, think about messages. All of that is involved in this. And anything and everything that is contrary to the character of Christ, be ye holy, for I the Lord thy God am holy. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. And so I'm not real sure that most of the people who claim to be the people of God really understand what it means to be a person of God. I hope that this message will help us all kind of come to a better understanding, because we need prayer power. Am I right or wrong? In this hour, in this day, we need prayer power. And you cannot get prayer power quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I choose. Now, in our home, we have curse-free TV. It takes out the profanity. Now, things that you find in the Bible, for example, one of the shows I watch is Highway Through Hell up in Canada, where the big semis have wrecks and the people have to salvage them, and then heavy, you know, all that stuff. And those old boys are tough. Once in a while, they'll throw out a hell or a damn, and it won't pick that up because that's in the Bible. But otherwise, it'll take out the ugly stuff. And some of the stuff I'm sure that they say probably gets ugly, but it doesn't make its way into my house because I have curse-free TV. But and you can't go to school and learn to do what they do. Have you ever watched Highway Through Hell? One or two of you. You need to watch that once or twice and just see what some of them boys do. But I'm back to the church. You see, the church is so caught up in the world and has embraced so much of the world that the church does not understand the function of the church and what we're to be about. With that in mind, come with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. We want to look at verses 14, 15, and 16, beginning with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Now take comfort in that. Satan suggested everything to the mind of Jesus that he suggests to you. The Word of God says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He never gave in to those suggestions, but Satan was making those suggestions to him. Now look at verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now look at 15 once again. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that sets the groundwork for the next verse I want you to look at, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. What does that mean? We've read it for years. What does it mean? You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's break that down for just a moment. You are a chosen generation, meaning this. Put it this way. You have a spiritual DNA. As one who's been born again, you have a spiritual DNA. Those of us who've been born again constitute a different group of people. You're a chosen generation. Out of all of humanity, those of us who've been born again are a different group of people. Because we have a, if you will, for lack of a better word, a spiritual DNA. Now, because of that, because we are a chosen generation, we've been made a royal priesthood. Now, the priest represented God to the people and the people to God. Stop and think about what I'm saying. You, if you've been born again, are a member of a chosen generation. You've got a spiritual DNA. You're different. You've been set apart, sanctified. You've been set apart as one who is different for the Lord God Almighty, for Jesus Christ. And therefore, we have become a royal priesthood. We are now representing God to the people and the people to God. We are intercessors in that respect. Not only do we live such a life that others can see Christ in us, and we represent him by our lifestyle, what we will be a part of, what we will not be a part of, but not only that, but in our intercessory prayers. We are a holy nation. That's what Israel was to be, a holy nation. A chosen generation, if you will, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I'll assure you, if you're living a godly, holy life, a lot of people are going to think you're peculiar. They're going to think you're peculiar. They're going to think you've gone off the deep end. They're going to think that you're strange. You don't go where we go and do what we do and say what we say and laugh at what we laugh at and be a part of what we're a part of. Therefore, you're wrong and we're right because you are in the minority. We, the world, we are the majority. You're in the minority. Well, it's a great minority to be in when you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, if you will. Why are we that way? Why are we a chosen generation? Why are we a royal priesthood? Why are we? We're a holy nation. We're a nation within the nation. And every community of believers in their nation is a nation within the nation. And because we are a nation within this nation, we cannot embrace, we cannot approve of, nor accept that so much of this nation has accepted. We can't do it. Because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and we are peculiar, yes. Yes, we're peculiar. Why? That we should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You've been called out of the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Now, because of all of this that I've just said, we're going to look at five or six points now. Number one, as a believer priest, we have the right, the God-given right, to approach the throne of God. Amen. We have the God-given right to approach the throne of God. I many times in my morning prayer time, I'll remind the Father, God is my Father. My Father is God. God is my Father. My Father is God. And so our Heavenly Father has bid us to come before His throne. Now, you must understand, he that comes to God must believe that God is. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you've got a lot of fools with a string of degrees this long. But they said there is no God, and they try to convince us. And, you know, some of the science and the stuff that we watch on TV, we don't watch a lot of shows except the historical stuff and the stuff where they abandoned and the science shows and, you know, the all that kind of stuff. Well, these different parts of the world and what's strange here and what's strange there. Documentaries is what I'm trying to say. And the people who are narrating that thing are telling us that most likely, this goes back about maybe 235,000 years. Idiots. No, it didn't go back 235,000 years. They forget the whole process of the flooding. They forget that whole process. But they seed our minds with worldly thoughts. But we, the Word of God says, we have the right to approach the throne of God. And God is, make no mistake about it, God is, and make no mistake about this, God is in charge. God is in control. The coronavirus did not catch him by surprise. And the coronavirus is not beyond his control. And the only protection that we as the people of God have throughout this entire process is that protection that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. So we, as I walk this auditorium, I plead the blood of Christ to cover this thing. Amen. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ in here. I bind and rebuke and renounce in the name of Jesus. I have no authority. I have no power, but He has it all. But I renounce, rebuke, resist anything from coming through that door out there that can in any way afflict this congregation, because I pray for this little flock. And so I have the right, as an intercessor, you have the right to go before the throne of God. And I've been telling you this these last weeks. I didn't understand it all myself, really, but I was just giving you what God gave me to give to you. You have the right to go before the throne of God on behalf of the Supreme Court, the Senate, the House, the entire Congress, everything. You can pray big stuff. You can pray big stuff. You can attack big strongholds. I'm just, and with this wisdom, when I do straight talk, you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about. We have the right to approach the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price. The veil has been rent. The way has been opened. We now have direct access. Are you hearing me? We have direct access to Jehovah God. through Jehovah Yeshua, if you will, we have direct access. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, we did this last Sunday, but I'm doing it again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's slow down and review something we said last Sunday, shall we? Looking unto Jesus, the author, he began our faith, if you will, the finisher, he is the author and the finisher. He initiated it, he finished it. He came to earth, obeyed the Father, went to the cross, paid our sin debt, buried, rose again, ascended back to the heavens, and now, because he has paid our sin debt, we have access, those of us who have been born again, into the presence of God. Now, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus looked beyond the cross. He looked beyond the tomb. He looked beyond his ascension back to glory. He looked into the distant future at the new heavens and the new earth, and he saw us, those of us who have been born again, ruling and reigning with him in the new heavens and the new earth. And so that was a joy. In other words, he is going to complete, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is going to complete what they started in the Garden of Eden. Because they're going to have a perfect universe. And those of us who've been born again are going to be part of that perfect universe. Now, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't let the shame of the crucifixion deter him. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is his position of authority. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He ever lives to make intercession. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. Speaking of Jesus who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, now watch this, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. There is not an entity in the universe over which Jesus Christ does not have authority and power. Did you hear me? There is not an entity in the universe over which Jesus Christ does not have authority and power. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He ever lives to make intercession. So, with that said, now laying that groundwork, here's where you come into play even more so. We approach the throne with our petitions. What's the difference in a petition and a request? Academically, we define a petition as something that is written out. Some people write out their prayers. We've had men who wrote out their prayers and people found them. Matter of fact, we had a ship's captain who wrote out his prayers in the 1800s and his ship sunk. And his son received the remains of what they could get of his belongings. They were in a chest, and for some 35, 40 years, he sat up in the attic, and the son wouldn't even open the chest. He didn't even want to open it. And one day he felt impressed. He was drinking. He was married. He was living with a woman he wasn't married to. But he went up, and he decided to open that trunk. And in that trunk, he found the ledger that his dad had written before the ship sunk. And he found a prayer written in there about his son and for his son's salvation. And as a result of that prayer that his father had written down, he went to church, heard the gospel, got saved, became a deacon in the church. So we have petitions, then we have requests. And you can write out a prayer. You can make a petition. We write, our kids, Mandy didn't, we didn't let her. But a lot of kids write letters to Santa Claus. And they put them under the tree. And, you know, it's a big lie, but nonetheless, that's what happens. Well, if I'm going to write a letter to somebody requesting something, I'm going to write it to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we submit, we have the right to access his throne. We go there with our petitions. And then we go with our specific requests. Now, stop and think about what I'm saying. We have our petitions. We have our requests. And then we have our preferences. It's okay to submit your preference to the Lord. It's okay to say, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, and here's my preference in this thing, Father. Here's what I wish you would do. It's okay to list your preferences. We come to Him individually. Now, I'm moving towards something here because it's going to affect this nation. I'm moving towards something. I want you to get a key on here. We come before the throne of God individually, if you will. You take Paul, when you read the Word of God, and Paul, what he prayed, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans, what he was praying, as he was praying for the churches, as he prayed for specific individuals, Paul was praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God as he prayed. And I can't list them all up here. There's so many prayers. He was constantly praying for the believers, for the church. So we come as individually. What about Moses? In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32, the people of God have failed. Back into idolatry, God says, I'll wipe them all out. Start over you, Moses. Moses, in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32, says, No, Lord. If you're going to kill all them, kill me too. If you're going to take them out, take me out as well. Here's an individual, are you hearing me, standing on behalf of a nation. One man standing on behalf of a nation. God had threatened to kill them all. And I'll start over with you, Moses. You will be great because you'll be the father. No. We can't have that, Lord. If you're going to take them out, if you won't forgive them, take me out too. One man. I've wondered about this. We're not told in the Bible how long Elijah prayed that God would stop the rain. He knew that one thing that would bring the nation to its knees was drought. We're not told how long he prayed that. We're given no insight as to how he worded his prayer. But what you have there, and in other instances, you have one man. Are you hearing me? One man going before God on behalf of a whole nation. And heard. God heard Moses. God heard Elijah. Time after time after time, you get one individual asking for a supernatural move of God. And God responds to it. One woman, one man. If you, whether you're male or female, if you've been born again, you are a believer priest. Whether you're male or female, you are a member of the royal priesthood. Whether you're male or female, you have access to the throne of God. The question is, are we as a royal priesthood, are we exercising our right to go before the throne of God and get off this, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep praying, and get off this gimme praying, and go before the throne of God asking Him to advance the kingdom of God at all cost, to do damage to the kingdom of darkness at all cost, and to advance the kingdom of God, and to, at least for this point in time in history, glorify Himself by what He does. Get glory to Himself. So we find out that these individuals, God heard these individuals. What about corporately? What about corporate prayer meetings? Remember that in Acts chapter 12? Peter's in prison. And the little house church. Little house church got together. And they were praying. Now, they didn't have a lot of faith. But they're praying. They're going through the motions anyhow. And they're praying. God knows their heart. God knows the motives for everything we pray. But they're praying and praying and praying. So what does God do? God sends an angel. God sent an angel to the prison, got him through, broke the chains, unlocked him, took him throughout the doors, took him to the city, opened the gate, sent him inside, And here's a church out there praying, oh, Lord God, Peter's in jail. They're going to cut off his head. Oh, Lord, 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 spare. Now, they're praying corporately. We've seen individuals go before God and on behalf of a nation and get the mind of God. These are praying corporately, and Peter is released. And he goes and knocks on the door. Who's there? Peter. You got to be kidding. Peter's locked up. Peter who? Whole lot of faith in that house church, huh? Real faith. The kind of faith that opens prison doors, right? Folks, the church hadn't got it. I'm saying to you, if the church had taken seriously God's word and the signs of the times, let me slow down there and inject a thought here. Fear is a formidable foe. Fear is a formidable foe. Fear will cause you to even give up or perhaps compromise some constitutional rights. Fear will cause you to go along with a series of events that you think might be helpful that might not necessarily be of God. Fear will cause you to compromise what you say you believe about the Word of God. These people are praying. They didn't have a lot of faith, but they were praying. But you see, God wasn't through with Peter. Who do you think prompted them to pray? Who do you think sent the angel? Who did he think let him out of prison? Who do you think sent him to back in the city? So what I'm saying to you is that corporate prayer, if we could get this, what I'm asking God to do is allow challenge to be part of one of many prayer bases around the nation that can see a spiritual renewal in this nation, a restoration of godly standards and godly values, a tearing down of the stronghold of abortion on demand, of same-sex unions, of transgenderism. I am asking God to initiate that series of events, and that will help us get that done through prayer. I'm asking God to defund Planned Parenthood, and unashamedly doing so. But corporate prayer, and just stop and think, if a church back there years ago had said, wait a moment, you mean to tell us that you have said, Supreme Court, that it's all right to go inside the womb of a mother and rip a baby to shreds and bring it out in pieces? That's wrong.
Amen.
Now, we won't tolerate it. We can't change you, Supreme Court, but we know someone who can.
Right.
We know who can remove justices. We know who can replace justices. I'm asking God in this hour and this day, those justices who are part of the elect, save their soul. Have them reverse their position and make it known. And if they will not reverse their position, replace them. I'm praying the same thing about people in the House and in the Senate. And I'm asking God to neutralize their power, authority, and influence to such extent they have no power, authority, and influence. I'm asking God to speak confusion, frustration, strife, division, and failure on the satanic agenda operating in this nation today for decades or generations, whichever he chooses.
Amen.
And if you get the whole church praying that, you see some changes.
Yes,
corporately, Acts chapter 12, yes, they prayed him out of prison. Well, then we go before the Lord in intercession. We have our petitions, we have our requests, we have our preferences. That is not necessarily true intercession. I may present my petitions, but it may not be true intercession. It may be my desires. I may present my preferences or my requests, but that may not be true heartfelt intercession. But when I move into heartfelt intercession, I am praying for an individual or individuals or situations or circumstance about which I feel strongly, and I'm asking God in His sovereignty to move in that direction. Now, Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. I think one of the strongest prayers of intercession ever prayed in all of time and eternity was Jesus on the cross. This hit me the other day like it's never hit me before. There's Jesus been scourged, in the process of being put to death. All the stuff he's gone through, and he's nailed to a cross naked, and people are cursing him and laughing at him and making fun of him and joking about him. And Jesus looks down to that little group of that little four squad men of Roman soldiers who are executing him, and he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That's intercessory prayer. In the most dire of circumstances, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, in the process of being crucified, in the process of being put to death, is interceding for those who are performing the execution. I put him on the cross. You put him on the cross. He went to the cross for our sins. But that squad, those four men in the Roman army, they were the ones who were actually performing the execution. And what does Jesus do? "Father, forgive them." He prays for them. That's, to me, that's just mind-boggling. Now, I'm going to start closing this out now because you can't stand much more of this and I can't either. Do you pray expectantly? A positive confession does not mean you got the faith to back it up. Been a lot of stuff written about positive confession. Been a lot preached about positive confession. If I don't have the faith to back it up, it's not very positive. So here's what we're going to say now. We expect, as I go before the throne of God, what I want to do is I want to pray those things that I know are in accordance with His will, because if I pray that which is in accordance with His will, it is going to be answered. End of conversation. If I pray that which is in accordance with His will, it is going to happen. Amen. Now learn a lesson here. We pray. We pray our hearts. We pray our preferences. We pray our desires. We pray our requests. And we intercede. But God sorts them out. God sorts them out. And what we do is we stay off His throne. And we leave them for, we present them. Hey, present anything you want to, but understand this. God's going to sort them out. He's going to sort out our petitions, our requests, our intercessions, our preferences. He's going to sort them all out. He is a loving Heavenly Father. My God is my Father, and my Father is my God. And as my Father, I can talk to my Father, and I've been invited to come boldly before His throne with all of my prayers, requests, petitions, intercessions, but let Him sort them out. And then He's going to answer those in His timing, in His way, that are in alignment with His will. Did you hear me? He's going to answer them in His timing. Delay does not mean denial. Delay does not mean denial. If you're not careful, you'll pray it and 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 not see an answer. And you think, "Well, I pray it anymore. I'm through with it." No, 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 no. Stay off God's throne. Let God sort them out. And let God respond to them as they align up with His will. And let God decide by what manner and what means He wants to respond. He may respond in a way you had never crossed your mind. There's a message here for those who have ears to hear. He may respond in a way it never crossed your mind. It never occurred to you that if I pray this like this, when God gets around to answering it, he's going to answer like this, and that kind of response never crossed my mind. He's God. He's sovereign God. And we know this. We know that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for us even as we pray. Now, as to the timing of a thing, leave that with God. See, my job, I'm not responsible for results. I'm responsible for obedience. That's all I'm responsible for. As the Lord lays something on my heart, pray for that individual. Do this, do that, move in this, move in that. Pray this, pray that. All I'm responsible for is to obey. And then once I have obeyed, I leave it with him. And I let him sort out how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, the way he wants to do it, and I stay off his throne and let him be God. I close with this. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. If we pray anything, in accordance with his will, he hears us. I'm going to wrap this up with some comments that are not comfortable to make or to listen to. When I ask God to bankrupt, destroy the funding of Planned Parenthood, that could have some far-reaching effects. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there are businesses that are not going to survive this present circumstance. There are industries that may not survive. Things are not going to go back as they were before this happened. Things are changing. Things are changing in the attitudes. Things are changing in the behavior. It's going to be a while before you can walk into a restaurant and feel comfortable sitting down and touching and handling things. It's going to be a while before the mindset of all that we've come through and are coming through and what we're still yet going to come through, it's going to be a while before all that is settled. So what you need to do, here's what I'm doing. I'm saying, thy will be done. Amen. Thy will be done. If that means, whatever that means, thy will be done, because I've got this confidence. My Father and my God is going to protect me. Amen. My Father and my God is going to provide for me. I'm amazed as I look back over my life how God in his omniscience, I was heading here and here and here, and he changed this and this and this, put this in place and that in place and that in place, and brought out the result. So I just want you to know, as we come through this thing, you have total liberty when it comes to, do I want to go to church or do I not want to come to church? You have total liberty. Don't come to support me. Come in obedience to the Holy Spirit. You obey the Holy Spirit. You may be about to go into a shop somewhere and the Holy Spirit says, let's don't go there. Don't go. We're in a changing time, folks. But God is in control. Amen. And if you've been born again, you're protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. My Heavenly Father, I have delivered unto these your people. They're yours, Father. This is your flock. These are your sheep, your lambs. You're the shepherd. I'm simply an under shepherd. I get my instructions from you. I try to obey, as do these rest of us, Father. So, Lord, we're asking you in these hours and these days to give us wisdom, sensitivity in every decision we make, whether we go here, go there, don't go here, don't go there, be a part of this, don't be a part of that. Whatever we do, Father. And, oh, Lord God, give us, we pray in Jesus' name, godly leadership in this nation. Raise up, we pray, in this hour, in this day, those individuals that can, with the spirit of Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah and John the Baptist, Paul the Apostle, Father, raise them up in this day, in this hour, to call your people to repentance, to holiness, and to intercess for prayer. Restore in our nation, we pray, godly values and godly standards, at least if for a season. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.
Well, again, let me thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we meet again, may God richly and wonderfully bless you and yours. Amen and amen.